Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special there tonight. And I know I've been saying it all day, but what a blessing it has been just being in church. And sometimes we don't realize just how it impacts our week until we're not able to be in church. And last Sunday, the first Sunday in 29 years, that we were not able to have some type of a service on Sunday morning because of the weather. And there's just a void, you know, and I truly believe if you're saved, you have a need to be in church services. That's what that commandment is all about, meeting a need. And if you're not, then there's going to be a void. And that void can affect us in so many different ways. And praise the Lord for church services. Praise the Lord for those who prepare to make it truly a blessing and a worship and music. And congregational singing, as well as the choir and their faithfulness to prepare to minister to us in song, and then the specials. It's just a blessing. Every aspect of church services is a help and a blessing to us. You can't get it anywhere else. It's got to be in His church that He meets with us and He gives us that which we have need of, and we just need to be thankful for it. Well, tonight, Revelation chapter 16. Revelation chapter 16. Sunday nights, we started with giving a outline on each book of the Bible. And I went through and we studied one message on each book of the Bible. And, of course, that took 66 services to get through that. That took a couple of years, actually, with all the breaks in between the things we had going on. But we need to have an understanding of every book of the Bible and what it represents, why it's there. And we broke it all down, and I trust that was a help to you. And then we've been in the book of Revelation since we studied the last book of the Bible. Then we started breaking it down and teaching it verse by verse, chapter by chapter. And it's been a blessing to me in preaching through the book of Revelation. I trust it's been a help to you as well. But the Bible is God's love letter to mankind. The Bible takes us from eternity past all the way through to eternity future. Everything that we have need to know about the past, God has written it down and preserved it for us. And whenever the philosophies of man contradict from the Word of God, then let God be true and every man a liar. Amen? I believe that the Word of God is the most accurate of all of history. Whatever writings, whatever books you want to look at, the Bible is the most accurate account of history. And so we find here that God has revealed everything that we have need to know about the past, eternity past, and the Word of God, and then everything about the eternity future, everything that we need to prepare for the future, we find God revealing it to us. And most accurate account of the future. It's much better than psychic hotline, I guarantee you. And so don't go to that. So just open up your Bible or listen to the Bible being preached and study what God has revealed to us concerning eternity future. And God was right up till now, amen? Everything that He said would take place has taken place up to this point in this year, 2014. If it has taken place, everything He has prophesied and predicted would take place up to now, we ought to be assured that if it's all come true up to this point, nothing should convince us that what God has said is going to happen will not happen. We have to have confidence in what God says is going to happen is going to happen. And He reveals it to us in His Word, especially in the book of Revelation. Just a few thoughts, and as we've been given to you as we go through the study of the book of Revelation, first of all, God has a purpose for revealing what He has revealed. There's a reason for every word that He has preserved for us in this King James Bible for the English-speaking people. Every word. That's what Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And if we are to live by it, we have to have it. And I believe God's preserved it for us, and we have it right here in this Bible. And so He has a purpose for revealing all that He has revealed in the Bible. There's a purpose for the book of Revelation, and what He's telling us is going to take place. It's a purpose to help us and to affect our lives. We've been studying how that happens. And then good men differ on some of the interpretations in the book of Revelation. Good men differ on some of the typologies of the book of Revelations and some of the time frames, and we've talked some about that as we've been going through. I'm not going to argue over those points. As long as they are in agreement with the doctrine amen, then we can have some disagreements and agree to disagree on some of the interpretations of the types and the things that's found in the book of Revelation. And then the last thing is that this is a practical study. I am just a practical preacher. What I want to do is try to present it in a way that you can live by it. And that's what it's there for. It's not just to build up all this knowledge, this head knowledge, and have no practical application. I believe the Word of God needs to be broken down to where we can apply it to our everyday lives. And there's much that we can apply as we study the book of Revelation. These principles, just like the Old Testament, there's biblical principles that never change. And there's principles here taught to us in the book of Revelation that never change, and that we can apply to our lives today. So we've been going through and studying that. Well, chapter 6 through 19 deals with the 7-year tribulation period. Now, some will disagree just as far as what chapters and the chronological events of the book of Revelations in these chapters, and that's all right. But most everyone agrees that he is revealing the 7-year tribulation. And even in these judgments, whether they come just one right after the other, whether they come in 1 year or all during the entire 7 years or whatever it might be, there's some discrepancies on that, some differences of interpretation. But chapter 6 through 19, it deals with what's going to take place during the 7-year tribulation. We're in chapter 16, so we're coming to the end of that. And in chapter 16, we find that God gives the order to end the reign of sin on the earth, which means it's the final judgments. The final judgments that the Bible reveals that will end the reign of sin, which will eventually usher in the 1,000-year millennial reign following the Battle of Armageddon. And that's where we're going to be looking at tonight, is this Armageddon. But it's going to take these last vile judgments. And we've studied them. Starting in chapter 16, we've studied the first five. And tonight we're looking at the sixth vile judgment, which is found in verse 12 down to verse 16. And so hopefully I haven't confused you too much and you're right with us here tonight. So stand with me and let's read this passage of Scripture that deals with the sixth vile judgments. Now these judgments will end the reign of sin on the earth. It's leading up to the end of the tribulation period, which will usher in the beginning of the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. Okay, so here is the sixth vile judgment, verse 12. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates. And the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits, like frogs, come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you tonight again, we thank you for just meeting with us. Thank you for the blessings that we've already received this day and even in this service here tonight. Thank you for the precious word that you preserved for us that we might be able to study and allow you to speak to us through it. And I pray tonight, God, that you would once again meet with us and speak through the preaching of thy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. The sixth vile judgment is actually preparation for Armageddon. The judgment is on the Euphrates River. It's to dry up the Euphrates River. And like it's unlike some of the judgments that we've already seen, how that it brought a lot of pain and things to mankind on the earth. Well, this judgment is one that is preparing for the end of the tribulation period, which will be this great battle of Armageddon. Now, Armageddon, the definition of that is Mount of Slaughter. Mount of Slaughter. This battle will take place when Christ actually returns to this earth. He hasn't returned to the earth yet. And he won't, at least for another 7 years. Because the first thing that's in prophecy that will take place is the rapture of the church. And we have a time frame after the rapture of the church, there's going to be 7 years of tribulation. And so we know that he's not coming back for at least another 7 years, but he could call his church up at any moment. Amen? And so we understand that. Hopefully that you know the Bible enough, and as we've been studying, we studied the rapture early on in chapter 4. We studied the church age in chapters 1 through 3, and we've done all that here in the book of Revelation. So now we're looking at the very end of the tribulation period. And it's the sixth judgment is preparing for Armageddon. Now, we're going to be reading of Christ's return in chapter 19. Chapter 19, verses 11 to 21, it actually describes what's going to take place there. And we're looking forward to that when we get there. But at this point, it's preparing for Armageddon. The sixth vial poured out on this great river Euphrates in verse 12. Very clear. It tells us that's what this sixth vial judgment is going to be. The angel now pours it out and pours it out on the great rivers Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up. That is the judgment, and this water is going to be dried up. Now we think, well, is it just some kind of a creek, just a little body of water? No, let me give you just a little description of this. It's 1,780 miles long. 1,780 miles long is the river Euphrates. It ranges from 300 to 1,200 yards wide. It ranges from 10 to 30 feet deep. And that's going to take an act of God to dry this thing up. And we've seen what God's able to do in moving mountains and all the other things and all the other judgments. This will impact the world. This will be a phenomenon. This will be something that the world would say, wow, how could this happen? And it's God pouring out this sixth vial judgment. Drying up this would allow the armies of the world to march against Israel. It'll put foot soldiers on the ground. This river is a natural barrier today between the Middle East and the Far Eastern civilizations. God designed it that way. God designed this earth. He designed where he wanted the waters to flow to, and he designed where he had going to have dry land. He designed exactly where he was going to set up his kingdom. Amen. He designed where he would rule and reign during that millennial reign from that little spot, that speck on this planet, Jerusalem, where all the eyes are focused on this little parcel of ground. And it's a dividing line of all the world. The world is divided, you either for or against Israel. I mean, that's just the dividing line. How can you not see God working when he reveals how important this place is and how important the children of God are, the Jews? And the tribulation period is going to be mainly to deal with Israel, the Jews. So we find here that he tells us in the getting ready to end the reign of sin on this earth, or the tribulation period, the sixth vial judgment, he's going to pour this, or he's going to dry up this natural barrier, which will allow all the kings to march and to bring their soldiers to this area. That's what the Bible says in verse 12. And the waters thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. The way, what's going to take place. But then John says, and I saw three unclean spirits. And he says, like frogs. Now, like frogs, that's how he sees them. That's how he describes them. come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast, now the mouth of the false prophet. This is that satanic trio that we've talked about that's going to be pretty much ruling the world during this tribulation period. And what it reveals here is that these demon-possessed individuals are going to be able, with their mouths, convinced all the armies, all the leaders of the world, to send their armies to this one location. And that's what it says. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Their mouths, these frogs or these unclean spirits coming out, represents their mouths, or what, how they're able to convince or persuade with what they say the kings or the leaders of the world, the known world, to send a representative and their armies to this great battle. They're going to lie. They're going to be deceptive. But the whole world will be convinced that what they're saying is true. And what the world needs to do is to send their armies. In verse 13, it says, like frogs. Now, I don't believe they're actual frogs. Now, if you want to believe they're frogs that he saw, that's good. It's just what God allowed John to see. And then John is able to write this down. So it says, like frogs. Whether it is or not, you can believe what you want there. But it tells us what they are. You can't believe whatever you want to believe on what it is that John is recording here, that what John sees. Because he says, and I saw three unclean spirits. So what John is witnessing coming out of the mouths of this satanic trio during this tribulation period, there's going to be the three, and the world is going to be led to worship the beast as God. He's going to be setting himself up as God. We've already studied some of those things. And whatever comes out of his mouth, John sees it as like a frog leaping out of his mouth. Maybe that's what it was. It just came out of his mouth as a frog would leap out of his mouth. But the Bible says whatever it was, they're unclean spirits. So whatever this satanic trio are saying, it's coming by way of a satanic spirit to influence humanity. Everybody in agreement with me? I don't think that you can miss that part of it. If you look down to verse 14, it says, for they are the spirits of devils. Revealing to us much here. Reveals to us that we deal with demonic spirits. We have to face spiritual battles. Spiritual influences. We're looking at this in a practical sense as we're seeing what is taking place here. That's exactly what we're dealing with some today, is the influence of Satan over certain individuals that are able to convince the world that this is what they ought to do. How in the world, our country, has come to the place it has concerning morality is nothing more than an influence of a satanic influence trying to convince the world that what God says is evil is good, and what God says is good is evil. We see it very clearly outlined and described to us in the book of Revelation concerning what's going to take place when this evil is actually ruling and reigning the world. And when Jesus says it's time, God says, I'm going to end the reign of sin. And the sixth vial judgment reveals these spirits, unclean spirits, spirits of devils. What do they say? He didn't tell us. So many will disagree or agree to disagree on how he thinks they're going to convince the world's armies, every leader of the world, to come to one place. The world is in danger of alien invasions. And we need to fight, all of us together, to fight against this invasion that's coming from outer space. Do you think that Hollywood, without even realizing it, might be preparing humanity for such a thing? Have you ever heard of a story or a line like that? It would not be very hard for us to imagine that's exactly what is going to take place. And somehow or other, they're able to convince the world that this is something that is coming from another planet. And we have to put all of our forces together. And we have to fight against this. And who knows? I'm not saying that's what's going to happen, but I could see that happening. Whatever these demons say, it's a lie. Because Satan can't tell the truth. He's the father of all lies, and he works through lies and deception. But they're going to be able to convince the entire world. That won't be hard when you have the absence of the church. The only reason that the morality in the United States has not gone any worse and any farther than what it is now is the influence and the light of the church. And now we're finding most of the so-called church's lights are going out. And they've lost their savor. Doesn't matter what they say, what matters is that the whole world is going to be deceived. By the sixth vial judgment, this is what's going to take place. Well, verse 15 and 16. That's what it says. That's what's going to take place in this sixth vial judgment. But verse 15 and 16, John now speaks of Christ's second coming. And what the believers that are even on the earth at that time were to do to be ready for this event. And I believe it's the very same things that God would have you and I to do to be ready for the next event in prophecy, and that's the rapture of the church. There's no doubt, if you look around, you can see the signs that it's very, very near. He says in verse 15, "Behold, I come as a thief." Now, Jesus had already prophesied that. He had already spoke that, and we might have time to go back and look at some of that. But it says, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, have no protection, and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon." Practical applications. Practical applications from what God has revealed to us here. First is watch. What are we watching for? Frogs. If you believe they were real frogs, then watch for frogs. But application, watch for what's coming out of the mouths of those that might be filled with the spirit of Satan. Be on guard for what you're hearing with your ear. Be on guard for what people might try to convince you of concerning morality, concerning life, concerning right and wrong, concerning your Bible, concerning the church, concerning your rights, God's will for your life. Be aware of how evil spirits can and do work through individuals. Working through individuals to persuade them to live opposite God's will. Matthew chapter 16. You say, was that part of the church age? Oh, very much so. Matthew chapter 16. This is practical application. It's revealed. It's what's going to take place with the sixth vial judgment right before Armageddon. This is one of the last of the judgments. We have one left, and that's the seventh, and we'll be studying that. But Matthew chapter 16, and Jesus preparing the disciples for what was going to take place and what he was going to do and going to the cross. And after he revealed to them what would take place, Peter. Yes, Peter. One of his chosen. Bible says in verse 22, and then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." Trying to convince Jesus that he was wrong in telling them what he told them. Now, that's going on a lot today as well. But what I want you to see here is what Jesus, how Jesus addressed Peter. But he turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Now, if I was Peter, that would have hurt. I mean, that would have been like taking a hammer and slamming it over my head. Jesus turning to Peter, who was one of his chosen disciples, and he called him Satan. But what he was doing, he was addressing what had come out of Peter's mouth as something that Satan had planted in his heart and planted in his mind and allowed him to be used to speak what Satan had persuaded him to think. Jesus saw a frog jump out of Peter's mouth. And when he saw the frog jump out of Peter's mouth, he knew exactly how to address it. That's not of God. He addressed it as what it was. It was the spirit of Satan working through Peter. Satan cannot force you, but he can put suggestions into your mind. And if you yield to that suggestion, then you will speak that very thing that he wants you to speak. Second Timothy chapter 3. Amen. Everybody with me tonight. Understanding that's what's going on. And it's taking place today. Satan is the prince of the power of the air today, working. We can't see him unless God would give us spiritual vision to see the spiritual realm of things. Then we'd see frogs jumping out all around us. I wish we could. You know, when you allow someone to speak to you, you're listening to somebody else, you're giving them an opportunity to influence you. How much easier it would be if when they started speaking, frogs started jumping out of their mouth. Whoa, no, I'm not listening to you. We can't do that. We can't see that, but that's what's happening. When they start trying to persuade you opposite the Word of God, it's a frog jumping out of their mouth. It's an evil spirit working through that individual to try to blind you to God's will for your life. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And verse 8. Now, as James and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Corrupt minds concerning the faith, the Word of God. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life. Now, Paul is writing to Timothy. Purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecution, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Now, I have this influence for you, Timothy, that you need to remember, that you need to learn to see how God worked through my life to be able to help you. As Paul was a mentor, was mentoring young Timothy for the pastorate. And so he's revealing these things, and then he goes on to say, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou. Don't listen to him, Peter, or Timothy. And if he would connect this with Revelation, he would say, don't let the frogs jump on you. When you see the frogs coming out of their mouths, don't let them jump on you. Don't let them influence you. Identify it for what it is. And then he goes on and he says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. Why continue that? Because they're not going to change. God does not change. This 21st century church is the very same. It should be the very same as the first century church. The very same doctrine that was preached in that first century church is the very same doctrine that should be preached in this 21st century church. The mindset of the believers, the desire and the dedication to God that was you find in that first century church ought to be the very same dedication that we have in this 21st century church, and possibly even a greater dedication, because we are closer now than ever before to the end of this church age and the rapture of the church. It's not a time to start changing. It's not a time to start giving in to the ways of the world and bringing the world into the church. It's not a time for that. It's a time to stand strong, as the men sang tonight in the song. Amen. This is the foundation of our belief. This Bible here is unchanging. God is unchanging. He's immutable. But there's going to be some that's going to have frogs coming out of their mouth. Don't allow it to change you. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. And hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. We should be very thankful that God has written it down and preserved it for us, so we're not dependent upon what a man says. We can look into the Bible ourselves and we can see what God says. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. What is righteous? Look to the Word of God, and you find God telling you what's righteous and what's right and what's wrong. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the Word. Don't just preach. Preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. There's going to come a day and time when people don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear a preacher telling them that they're wrong. They don't want to come to church and get convicted over an ungodly lifestyle. Can I tell you, before anyone can repent, they have to come under conviction that it's wrong. If they're not hearing the truth, they're more apt to believe the lies of the devil. And if they believe the lies of the devil, they're not going to change. They're just going to get worse and worse and worse. As the Bible says, that's what's going to happen. It's not like God didn't warn us of the day and time. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. What a cute story, Jonah and the whale. What a cute little fairy tale. What? It's no fairy tale. What a cute story about the ark and how all the animals, and let's just make it a cartoon and how cute that is. And wasn't given to us for it to be cute. God gave it to us for us to understand that God had his hand upon everything on this earth. God destroyed humanity with a flood. And he saved Noah and his family. This Bible is not a book of fables. It's a book of reality. It's true. Every word of it. But there's going to come a time. I don't think any of us would be surprised to think that we're living in that time. Yeah. You see, when someone tries to influence you opposite God's word, practical application of revelations, envision frogs, or evil spirits coming out of their mouths. 2 John tells us that. 2 John, look there. I'm going to be done here in just a minute. 2 John. Just put the Bible together. It reveals so much to us. So I shouldn't give people with false doctrines, I shouldn't give people an opportunity to influence me with their evil philosophies. If I go to church with them, maybe I can get them to come to church with me. If I listen to all of their doctrine, maybe they'll listen to mine. That is so foolish. That is not what the Word of God says. Look what the Word of God says. Look here in 2 John, verse 7. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. And that's what's going to rule during the tribulation period. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. Well, they're teaching good things at that place. Is it the right doctrine? Well, they're teaching good. They're doing good works over there. If they do not abide in the doctrine of Christ, they have not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker. You're putting your approval upon it. You're condoning it of his evil deeds. That's Bible. The time that we're living in today, listen to me, there is a lot of deception going on. There is a lot of satanic deception trying to convince the believer that this Bible is outdated. That God really didn't mean what he said and didn't say what he means. Watch. That's the first practical thing he tells them to do is watch. Watch for that. Satan's going to convince the whole world. And then he said, keep of his garments. No one can do for you what only you must do for you. No one can protect your mind. No one can filter your mind like you can filter your mind. No one can keep from allowing this to influence me but me. And when it's opposite the Word of God, I guarantee you, in my mind, I'm going to see frogs. And I'm going to say, not so. Get thee behind me, Satan. No one else can do that for you. And Jude, and we'll close here. Jude, the last book before the book of Revelation. verse 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves. It means only you can do that. The more you allow Satan to influence you by worldly philosophies and the doctrines of devil, listen to me, you're going to lose your love for God and the things of God. And you're going to start compromising everything that you've ever believed. And Satan will get a tremendous victory, not only in you, but in everyone that he will work to influence through your bad decisions. Your family, your friends, your church. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Can I tell you that only you can keep yourself in church? Praise the Lord. God wants the church to be an influence. When you come to this church, God wants to use this church to influence you. Influence you with the truth. Influence you with the Word of God. To better equip you to go out those doors and to influence others as the light of the world and the salt of the earth. But you have to bring yourself. You have to bring yourself. You have to keep yourself in church. You have to keep yourself around good Christian friends. You have to keep yourself around those who can encourage you and that you can encourage and admonish to live right and to do right. And when you're around those that are constantly trying to pull you into doing something you know is wrong, listen to me, there's frogs coming out of their mouths. Identify that as a evil spirit, whether they understand it or not. They're trying to convince you opposite the word and the will of God. You need to be able to watch and see it and then protect yourself. Don't allow that influence in your life. Whenever you stop being the influence and you are starting to be influenced, run. Get out of that situation. As a child of God, we are here to be an influence, be the light, be the salt. Keep yourself around good Christian friends. Keep yourself committed to being all that God wants you to be. Do that for yourself. Keep yourself. Revelation chapter 16, behold, I come as a thief. Not knowing when he's going to come. He could be here tonight. We live our lives not knowing, but ought to be ready. And if he does not come for another 10, 20 years, your time on this earth might be up tonight. And it's almost like his coming for the church, he came for you. Are you ready for that? Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments. Are you ready? A practical application from the sixth vial judgment. It's going to be poured out during the tribulation. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. Jesus taught his disciples this very same truths over and over again and telling them to watch and be ready. He told Peter, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You're going to watch. The spirit is willing. You have to yield to it. The flesh is going to pull you back. It's going to be weak. But you can overcome the flesh. God has a purpose for everything he's recorded. He's recorded. He's given us insight into what's going to take place during the tribulation period. I trust we've learned from the sixth vial. Father, we love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for meeting with us and possibly how you just revealed something to each one that's here and things that will help them to draw closer to you. And God, escape the snares and the traps that Satan is setting for them to lead them opposite your will and opposite your blessing. I pray tonight, God, that if you have and there's decisions that need to be made, that they would be made tonight while there's still opportunity for them to make them. Work in our midst and bless now in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.